This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I'm so glad you guys decided to join us again today for this amazing podcast. You know, one thing about these podcasts is we try to build your self-esteem. We try to let you know how to think. We try to help you and give you the tools that you need to build the knowledge that you need. And one of the things I've realized in my life is we all need to build our confidence, do we not? And by the way, before we talk about confidence today, I want to share with you this. I want to say thank you so much for tuning into this broadcast. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know, you don't tune into this broadcast to hear me. You tune into this broadcast for yourself. And I would like for each one of you to give yourself an applause. I mean, just give yourself a good pat on the shoulder. The reason why is because you have come to the place in your life where you were hungry and you were thirsty for something else in your life. You're thirsting and you're hungry for something that goes beyond the norm. And one of the things I've realized in my life is we have to be able to go outside the box, walk on the water of life where no one dares to walk, and get into the place where we're feeding ourselves life. You know, Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and they're life. And that means that we are at a place right now where not everyone is hungry. And today you've tuned into this broadcast because you decided to make a change in your life, did you not? You decided to make a change, not because I would save you, not because what I have would save you, but because you knew that you wanted to tune in to someone or something that could give you insight, give you wisdom, give you something beyond the normal part of the aspects that you're having to go through right now. And many of you are dealing with circumstances. Let's face it, folks. Many of you are dealing with circumstances that you feel you just can't define. You feel as if you can't really seem to get rid of. No matter how much you shake it, no matter how much you speak into it, it just isn't budging. And one of the main things I've realized that we need in our lives to help change circumstances is to not always find ourselves binding devils for everything. You know, when we look at the spirit realm, we have to remember not everything deals with or involved, around the demonic. As far as influencing, this or bringing this against us, a lot of times we have to remember that things in our lives happen because of the lack of knowledge we have that we didn't know how to direct a situation. And sometimes when we don't know how to direct a situation, it's not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It's our fault because we suffer from a lack of the things that we should be empowered by, which are the things of knowledge and wisdom. And that's why Solomon, one of the greatest men, one of the richest men that ever lived, he was full of wisdom. God made sure that he was full of wisdom. And that's one of the greatest, wealthiest gifts we can ever have in our lives, is to be able to have the wisdom and the know-how of knowledge to be able to deal with situations and realize what got us in the situation to begin with. Was it the devil that just threw us into it? Did he force us into it against our will? Was it something he chained us up to do? No. It was about the fact that we ignorantly stumbled into a situation, got ourselves deeper into, and realized I'm in this thing and I don't know how to get out of it because of the lack of knowledge that I had going into this thing. And so not everything, folks, is going to be dealing with or involving surrounding the devil. One of the main things we've got to get to is taking responsibility for our own actions. And that's why today I'm saying, you know, from a heart that is so pleased with each one of you tuning in. We have thousands upon thousands that tune in to these podcasts because they want to be able to get a new paradigm, shake off the old they've been living in, remove themselves out of the normal of life, the normal aspects that everyone else tends to like to live in their comforts, you know, zones, and yet find something that can sort of fine-tune us. Find something that can speak volumes into our lives, that can give us maybe like a something that would trigger something within our lives that would cause us to think outside the box, to move differently in the spirit, to discover on this amazing quest of life who we really are. You know, when I ask questions, for example, to people and I say, so tell me who you are. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. One of the main things that they say is, I am a born-again Christian. And they'll stop at that. And I always applaud because, yes, that is so true. That should be number one on our list. But, once again, it doesn't tell me who you are. Because it's easy to pawn off, for lack of better words, a position that God has died and paid for us to walk into, but yet it still doesn't say who I am, what I do, what my passion is, what I enjoy doing. It doesn't tell me the foods I don't like. It doesn't let me know the things that I feel I'm not really good at doing and the things I'm great at doing. So we need to go beyond that and say, yes, that is 100% our foundation, but tell me about who you are. And most people say that to sort of pawn it off on people to say, well, I'm a born-again Christian, because they really don't have an idea, nor do they have a clue of who they are, what gifts they possess, or what they're called to do in life. And so today, before we start the podcast, I want to say, take some time, folks. Take some time to discover you, the authentic, genuine identity of who you are, and know what you like. Know what you don't like to do. You know, don't just sit here and say, well, I like to read the Bible. I like to go to church. I like to be in the presence of the Lord. Well, that's great, but every Christian should want that. That should be a standard for every Christian. But once again, it still doesn't tell me what you have to do and what you enjoy doing. And even though sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we say, well, that's all I long for, then if it's all you long for, you are disrespecting still the presence of God. You might say, well, how am I disrespecting God by just longing for Him? Because in Him, there are giftings that belong to you. In Him, there are talents that belong to you. In Him, there is a lifestyle that belongs to you. In Him, there's a destiny. There's accomplishments. There are victories. There are defeats. There are awakenings in Him that belong to you. That's why in Him, we live, we move, we have our being. So you can't sit here and say that what I am is and what I long to do is just be with Him. Then once again, you're sort of disrespecting Him by everything that He died to give you. He didn't die. Now, let's be real about this. Does God want intimacy with all of us? Well, sure, absolutely He does. But He never says, I'm going to die that you might have intimacy and have it more abundantly. Come on, folks. Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. He said, I died to give you life and life more abundantly. When people approach me in life coaching sessions and they tell me, and I know what they're going to say because I can hear it in their voice, you know, I long to live in this presence. This is who I am. This is what I am. I'm a blood-bought child of God. And I say, well, that's wonderful. But once again, you didn't answer my question. And it stuns them because they feel at that moment that it is something that should be, you know, the main thing. And I say, but you know what? Christ died to give us life, and life more abundantly. There should be an abundance of wealth about your life and the experience and the journey and the lifestyle that you're called to live. That's why He gave you talents and gifts and everything else. So don't find yourself today pawning it off, pawning the phrase in a religious tone that all you want to do is live for God. That's wonderful. But if you're going to live for God, living is an action word, folks. Think about that. Living is an action word. So, what you're really wanting to say is, I don't know myself, I don't know who I am, and therefore I'm going to be stagnant for God. Not living for God, I'm going to be stagnant for God. Because if you don't know yourself, you know, there's an old saying, know thyself. If you don't know yourself, then you really truly can't understand the concept of the scriptures that say, your faith has made you whole. First of all, you have to know who you are, and you have to know the faith in which you carry. And then the other scripture where it says, physician, heal thyself. That's actually in the Bible, folks. Then you have to understand, and you have to know how your body operates. You have to know yourself in order to, quote unquote, be the physician that heals yourself. Are you with me? And so there's a lot of things in the scripture that points back to us. And when it points back to us, it's letting us know, do you know you? Do you really know what you carry, what you have to offer to people? Do you know what you like and don't like? Do you know what, for lack of better words, turns you on spiritually, what turns you on naturally as far as passions and exciting things that you want to go towards as far as schooling, college, you know, educating yourself? And so I always tell people, make sure that you know who you are. And tell me, when someone asks you, tell them what you're good at doing because of the blessing that God has graced you with. Now, I've said all that to say this. I want to talk today for a couple of minutes about the power of confidence. I want to give you three gold nuggets, as I call them, on building your confidence. And one of the things we have to understand is people ask me all the time in life coaching, well, how do I build my confidence? What do I do? First and foremost, I'm going to tell you something that's very, very easy to understand. If you want confidence, then you need clarity. Clarity on a subject, clarity on a situation, build your confidence automatically, because once you are empowered, what did we say earlier about knowledge? Once you are empowered with knowledge in a situation, in a certain genre, no matter what it is in your life, when you're confident because you have clarity, then you'll have confidence. Because when you have clarity about something, you know the odds and the ends to it, you know the ups and the downs, you know how something works, how it doesn't work. If I was to sit here and me and you were talking about a toaster, and you knew exactly how a toaster should operate. You just don't put the bread in, but here's the coils within the toaster that heat up the bread, and according to how long you keep the bread in there, the coils are going to heat up, and it's going to toast your bread for you. But if you knew the odds and the ends and every jot and tittle about a toaster, then you're going to have clarity on how it functions and how it is called to work for bread. And guess what happens? You automatically boost your confident level because you automatically know, I know what I'm talking about. And that, my friend, is called a truth as opposed to just a fact that you've heard from someone else. You know, facts are wonderful, but what's better than a fact is truth, because you've gotten yourself dirty, you got your hands dirty into the thing in which you're trying to bring out, you know, to get confidence on, but you've built it up by understanding the clarity of how it functions, how it flows, and therefore you know you're speaking from a truth point of view, not a factual point of view about what everybody else is talking about. Well, how do you know this is a fact? Well, because so-and-so said this and this and this. It's like fake news, real news, whatever you want to call it. You know, we believe everything and take them as facts. And then what happens is we actually take them as truths, but we need to realize that some of these so-called truths are not truths at all. They're just facts given by other people. But yet when it boils down to the nitty-gritty, the facts probably aren't even true either. And so let's look for a moment at your life. What is it that you know you've been called to do? Because the more you learn about that situation or that subject, you're going to build up a clarion call, a clarity to where you know it forward and backward. You know the end and the beginning of it. And that, my friend, will build up the confidence. Knowledge always builds up confidence, because knowledge brings you clarity on a certain situation or subject, and confidence will automatically just flood out of that. All right? Now then, some of the three gold nuggets, or the three gold nuggets I want to talk to you guys about today, is number one, and that is this: change your association, change your relationships. You know, people say, well, I hear you say sometimes in my prophetic words or in life coaching, you need to get a new set of friends, because your friends, your associations tell me exactly really who you are and where you're headed. Think about that. If I know who you hang out with, I know exactly what's going to become of you. Because the truth of the matter is, like attracts like, and you are attracted to people, places, and things that is somehow drawing from a magnetism point of view with inside of you. So you might say, well, I didn't draw this into my life, no matter if it's good, bad, or ugly. You did. And there's nothing wrong with that. It tells me, and it should tell you more importantly, that there's something deep inside of you that it's triggered, that needs to be healed, that needs to be dealt with, or needs to be acknowledged. You know, I had a friend of mine who, she was actually married to a gentleman, and this gentleman was just constantly negative, drama, always just hyped up. I mean, to the point where, great guy, but you couldn't take 5 minutes around him without him saying something that was so extremely negative, that was so extremely just drama, and to where his wife was basically just pulling out her hair because she didn't know what to do with him. And so she tried to control situations, and she tried to do this and do that, but yet she was trying her best not to be negative. And she picked those things up about any time that she wanted to be negative, she would be positive. So she was more walking in awareness about being positive. And yet their relationship was draining, constantly just draining one another. And I shared with her one day, I said, you know, do you realize that you drew him into your life. Yeah, they're in love as couples, but I mean, she was just about to drive herself crazy because he was constantly negative, constantly drama and hype about certain things in a negative way. And so I told her, I said, do you realize you attracted him into your life? And she said, but I'm positive. How could something positive attract something negative? And I said, well, first of all, you fell in love with him. And that means there was a magnetism there deep inside of him and deep inside of you, which means you attracted him into your life because in the corridors of your belly, in the corridors of your heart, there's something there that is maybe another area of his life that is attracting you, maybe in a negative way, that maybe God is trying to reveal to you to show you something that you can be healed from, or something that could trigger just a wellspring of life in you. Because the main thing we need to come into in our lives is awareness, acknowledgement. I acknowledge this is true about me. I am aware this is true about me. But once we acknowledge it, once we are aware of the negative situation, we can turn it around and change it because we have something now to work with, because we know the effects of that thing. And that's one of the main things we have to do. And so I tell people all the time, change your association. When you change your association, then you will start vibrating to a new beat. I mean, folks, this is just true. This is scientific truths and even kingdom truths from the Bible, that when you change your association, your vibes, your personality, your characteristic, everything about you will slowly begin to adapt to that in which lies before you. Because when you begin to sort of change your vibration, change the pattern of your life, when you do, you begin to forcefully put yourself in a place where I must be influenced by people who are leaders, people who are positive, people who are visionaries, people who see their future going somewhere. And what will happen is that will begin to rub off on you, because iron sharpens iron, and before long your vibration will completely change, because your attitude will change, your personality will begin to sort of allude towards something more positive, and whatever in you needs to be healed, trust me, it'll begin to come out when you're around positive people and you're around leaders and you're around people who are sharpening you day after day. So whatever's in you is going to be dealt with, and that's a great thing. So the number one thing about building confidence and about changing your life is change your associations. And you might say, but my life is filled full of wonderful Christian people. Let me tell you this way, okay? And this will help you guys all understand. Just because somebody is a wonderful Christian doesn't make them a good president. Just because somebody is a wonderful Christian doesn't make them a good attorney. Just because somebody is a good president doesn't make them a good doctor. Just because someone's president, just because someone's Christian doesn't make them good at anything. It makes them good at what they're called to do in their life. And so as a Christian, you know, just because you might not be a good president, you might not be a good doctor, you might not be a good attorney, you might not be good at this, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be good at everything or accelerate at everything. And yet we can sit here and say, well, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Exactly true. But my thing is, what are the all things within the will of God for your life? The all is encompassed with all, which means the all should be within the will of God that God has called you and your uniqueness and your authenticity to do within your life. So yeah, I can do anything and everything, but I want to do everything. I choose the all within the will of God for my life. And through that, I begin to understand, you know what? I have to see who's on the path or the road of my existence. And if they are not doing me any good, but yet they love the Lord, I've heard more people tell me, well, they love the Lord. Well, who doesn't? I mean, if a Christian loves the Lord, that is dynamic, folks. But when we're talking about not being connected to, you know, those who are yoked differently than us or don't be unequally yoked, I should say, according to scriptures, that's true. But it doesn't just mean Christian versus non-Christian, folks. I mean, it means to me, are you positive? Do you have a vision? Like I do? Are you a visionary like I am? Or do you want to be able to accelerate in your life? I mean, like I am? Do you give me permission as I give you permission? If we're going to join together at the hip as couples or whatever, to be able to explore our destinies, to explore our entrepreneurship, you know, mentalities, or, you know, do we give each other that idea, that permission, the option that love causes us to always want the best within the person that we're connected with? Then, you know what? If so, then we're a great match. And so just because somebody's a Christian, folks, doesn't mean they're going to be a perfect match for you. Sorry to bust your bubble, okay? That's not necessarily what it means to be unequally yoked. And so you have to realize, are you on the same vibration that they're on? Are they on the same vibration you're on? And it doesn't mean you have to be joined in the hip in the sense of everything must be exactly like me, then you never sharpened. But see and make sure they're accelerating and they have passion and they have vision for living life and wanting to accelerate in life, to want to be something, to want to have nice things, to want to educate and change the world and change people for the kingdom of God, which in details all the above. And if that's the kind of person you want to be with, then trust me, you'll begin to sharpen them, they'll sharpen you, and you'll begin to realize, you know, that life is going to be a little better for you. And so change your associations, folks. Number one thing to build confidence. You never want to be with someone negative because it will just do nothing but pull you down constantly. And then all of a sudden, you begin to understand, number two, put good positive things in you. Think about that. Put good positive things in you. For lack of better words, incorporate. Incorporate everything in your life that is positive, that is good. The Bible says, think upon things that are good report. Things that are positive. Things that have a great outcome to it. Do you notice how the scripture never really says, think about things that are godly, religious, that are Bible-based? Even though we should, but hear me out for a moment, folks. He never used the religious vernacular, the religious terminology, because what he's saying here is all good things. It doesn't even say all godly things, which we know good things are godly things. But what he's saying here is all good things. Anything that's positive for you, anything that will uplift you, anything that's encouraging to you, hey, think about these things, folks. That's what he's telling you. Because those are the godly things for you. So godly doesn't just mean being in your prayer closet 24/7, reading the Bible, loving the Lord by going to church 5 times a week. It means anything that is good, because all good things flow down from the Father of lights, and in Him there's no shadow of turning. Then get yourself surrounded with good things. Fill your mind full of positive things. One of the best things I tell people is keep yourself reading all day long. Keep yourself reading. Keep yourself listening. You know, I love music with a passion. But music has to take the back seat in my life when it deals with listening to other podcasts, listening to people who will tell me about how to invest my money, people who will tell me how to live before the Lord with peace, people that will tell me how to be more gracious to people that will tell me how to love your neighbor, people who will tell me how to purchase a home, people who will tell me the best car to purchase, you know, people who know more than me on certain subjects. I want to live my life in their knowledge. Because as I do, I will learn. Every single day of your life, folks, you should be learning. Don't just listen to podcasts of T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer all day long. Those are perfect and wonderful, I should say, wonderful speakers. And you should incorporate their teachings in your life. But don't let them be your God. Don't let them be the answer to all. Because if you do, you're going to miss the wisdom that is incorporated within millions of other people on earth. And people of all different walks of life, folks, have knowledge and certain levels of wisdom about their expertise. So don't shut out people at all, but learn to love and learn to see the Christ in them. Learn to grab the good. You know, there's an old saying, chew the meat and spit the bones out. Well, that's what you should need to, that's what you should do. I learn from people all over the world because I want to be a person of knowledge. I want to be a person that is educated about all different walks of life and all different areas and all different subjects. And that will build your confidence, because then you have other things you can talk about when you're in the presence of other people. You know, there's nothing in life worse to me and degrading and actually not a good witness than someone who is in the Bible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and refuses to learn anything outside of the scriptures. And yet, guess what? You have no communication with outsiders. You can't carry on a conversation with people because you have no knowledge about any subject whatsoever, but all you do know about is scripture. Folks, you should know the Bible back and forth. That's 100% given. But that's not the only thing you need to know, folks. Because the Bible doesn't even say we're led by the Bible. It says we're led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead you to learn more about life and learn more about people, how they function, how they flow. Learn more about mechanics. Learn more about technology. Learn more about how things, you know, tick and click. I mean, learn about life, folks, so you can be able to use that as an open door for you to get in there and talk to people. If you love the Lord so much, then let your mind be educated enough to learn about all different things in life, because that, my friend, God will use to open the door for you to be able to speak or minister or speak the word of the Lord, whatever it is you need to say to that person. But you can't expect to be a pomper and go before a king and start talking about the things of God when you don't own anything, you're poor, you're broke, you don't have anything to your name, and you don't have proper grammar. Nobody said you have to be perfect in all of it, because that's called grace. Grace means, you know what, you're not going to be perfect, and we accept you how you are. But what grace does say as well is, you know what, learn as much as you can. Have grace upon yourself to not judge yourself so much that you can learn more, and you can educate yourself more, and you can get out there and know about different types of subjects in your life. That way they can be used as open doors to minister to people and to share with people God's love. And so you have to remember that if you can't expect to go to people out there and they start talking about cars, I'm not a big sports person, folks, but I've learned enough how to carry on a conversation and come into agreement or say a little bit about it to where it opens up the door enough to where A, it doesn't make me look stupid, and B, it doesn't make me look close-minded, and C, it opens the door for people to actually want to talk to and engage in conversation with me. And so you have to remember, folks, not everybody likes the things you like. Okay? I was faced with that about 15 years ago. Not everybody likes the things you like. Get to learn about other things outside of your genre. It'll build confidence to say, you know what, I can be all things to all people because I can carry on a conversation about natural and spiritual things, about anything and everything. And if I don't know something of a certain particular subject that someone approaches me about, because you can't know everything, then you can respectfully, gracefully say, man, I'm not really keen. I don't know a whole lot about that subject. But all of a sudden, guess what? It'll just lead into another open door of something else you do know that they love to talk about as well. And so be that person, folks. Be that person. And then the third thing I would recommend to you as gold nuggets about building up your confidence is seek counsel. This is a very important one. Seek counsel, okay, not opinions from others. Seek counsel, not opinions from others. People's opinions sometimes can be okay, but they're not always driven with wisdom. They're not always driven with knowledge. That's what they are. They're just their opinions. And so learn from people who actually know what they're talking about. People who have experienced things. Don't learn from people who have never experienced things in their life, because all they can offer you is opinions. If someone has went through law school, for example, and all of a sudden they become an attorney, to me, what makes them an attorney is when you start practicing being an attorney, when you start winning cases, when you start acting as an attorney and you put action behind the knowledge in which you've learned, then you're activating that attorney within you. Then to me, you are an attorney because you have experience underneath your belt. And so when you look at life, you realize that I need counsel from those who have been there, done that. Please don't try to counsel me if you've never experienced what I've, you know, the thing in which you're trying to tell me. Because if it doesn't work for you, how do you think it's going to, what guarantee teach you it's going to work for me? That's what I call the hyper faith, that says I'm going to teach you hyper faith or something that I've never done before. I've tried, but I've never done it, but I'm going to teach it to you and make you think you can do it as well. So you have to remember, folks, if faith doesn't make you whole, which means if faith has not completed its working format in the natural, then don't talk about it. Okay? Be a person of experience. Experience this world. Experience life. Experience the things God wants you to. Learn as much as you can to where you can experience it. One thing I've realized is any revelation you get from God, God will see to it that you will live it out. If not, it's nothing more than pure information and not revelation. Revelation only becomes revelation when you live in that information and you experience the good, the bad, the ugly, and it becomes a part of who you are. Then you are authorized and debutized to be called revelation. Until then, it's nothing more than pure information, okay? Because anyone can spout out something that is out of the norm, but if it hasn't been experienced and lived out in your life, then it's still nothing more than pure information. So build up your confidence today. Build your confidence up. Learn from people. Read things. Change associations. Get clarity on the things in which subjects you're really wanting to dive into, and learn it backwards and forwards, and you will be a person who will build confidence up quicker than anything you can ever imagine or think possible. So thank you so much, guys and gals, for tuning in to Thoughts Become Things with Jeremy Lopez. Lopez. I so appreciate all of you. I applaud you once again for showing up in this podcast and being a part of the evolutionary process of God pouring out the things in which we need to know today in this day and age. And I'm so glad you joined us, because once again, you're hungry and you're thirsty. And as you hunger and thirst, guess what? God is going to fill you full. So by the way, before I close the podcast, I want to remind you all, make sure you're going to our website, identitynetwork.net. As you do, remember, we have a brand new, powerful, powerful book. It's called Power Magnetism. Each and every one of you need to get this book, Power Magnetism. It's a really big, thick book, and I deal with biblical attraction and how you are set up to be nothing more than a pure magnet. And so it's Power Attraction. I would say go to the website and get it, or call the office at 205-362-7133 and just tell them you want to order the ebook or the book of Power Attraction. Hey, until next time, you guys need to make sure that you are attracting the things that you know God wants you to have by His will. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.